What's up, everybody? Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind podcast. First off, let me say, if you caught that IG Live interview or show, whatever that was, I apologize. I don't know why I did that show. I think the vanity or the vainness in me got a hold of me and wanted me to see what this interview was going to be about. I really don't do IG Lives. As you know, you have never really seen me do IG Lives, even by myself, because I think it's just full of vanity. I think nothing comes of it. I thought the show was going to be a podcast. That's why I agreed to it so fast. And then when I found out it was IG Live, I already told him I was going to do it. So I didn't want to not be a man of my word and not do it. So I went ahead and did it. I felt like he put out some good information. And that's why I reposted one of his posts. And like I said, people get into this truth telling and this truth business to try to make more money. They're trying to be somebody. They're trying to be known. They're trying to be relevant. I'm not in a position to care about being relevant. I don't care. My biggest war is with these demons. My biggest war against the people that I can't put my hands on. I want to do what Joshua did to the Canaanites. Ultimately, that's what I want to do. If y'all put a battlefield in front of me, and said, here, here's a sword, here's a shield, these who I want out of here, I would go out there wholeheartedly to destroy. I'm not about to get online, Wi-Fi, arguing with people who look like boys but are girls and girls who look like boys, but it ain't for me. And that's all that IG Live was. It was comments saying a bunch of stupidness. I'm a Zionist. I'm a gatekeeper. I'm one of them. So when people come into this truth, the first thing they do is to research and Google my name. They'll go past all the other articles or interviews that people have said horrible things about. They'll pass that to go into, oh, how come you was in a Jay-Z video? That's 15 years ago. What is 15 years ago got to do with now? How am I one of them? How am I gatekeeping? How can I speak so freely? I'm not really speaking on nothing. I'm sharing the information that they already are putting in front of your face. This is not nothing hard. It's where your energy is. It's where your emotions are. It's where what you pay attention to the most is where your attention is going to be. If it's not into getting into this truth and exposing lives, you think somebody who speaks a truth that you have never heard before or something that's surprising, that they just kill you for telling it. They ain't killing nobody over the truth. Who are they killing? Who are they silencing? No one. We still got Instagram pages up. We still got Twitter pages up. I mean, I deactivated mine because they hacked mine. But they're not stopping us from doing anything. They don't have... Even when Klaus came out and said, oh, we're going to have a separate entity or an entity under the WEF that's going to help discourage or stop the spread of the information narrative. Because they want to control everything. They want to control history. They want to control what you think about vaccines. They want to control what you're thinking about the digital currency. They want to control all of that. So yeah, it's going to be a time that our pages may be wiped out, but the Most High has said it to be. Because in the last days, in this age, people are getting stupid. People are dumb. And it says in Baruch, the wise shall be few, and those who know will most of all be quiet. They're going to threaten us with our financials. After a while, I don't even want to talk about none of this crap no more. Let people figure out by themselves what's going to happen to them. I'd rather hurry up and get these truths out and get this word out and then sit back and relax and watch. Watch how many people come to y'all. About, what should we do next? Oh, what would we do? When they found out their celebrities ain't really telling them how to survive inflation or hyperinflation, how to survive losing resources. They're going to be looking to their celebrities, their paid puppets. Like Kevin Hart and Kim Kardashian, oh, are overstepping their limits on water. They're going to be doing that. Y'all got in California going through a drought. Nobody's going to be able to get water. Everybody's going to be fighting in Publix. Everybody's going to be fighting in Walmart and Target trying to get water. And I'm going to sit back and laugh. Like Proverbs 1:26, I'm going to sit back and laugh. Mock you. Because you didn't want to hear wisdom. And this is the problem with this generation. The best thing they know how to do, as soon as somebody says some truth that's hurting their ego or their pride, they'll go dig up dirt. And they skip through all the stuff that made you where you are right now. They'll skip all of that and go right into, oh, why are you using a video? Oh, you said you use roommates with Jay-Z. How am I, a 25-year-old man at the time, is going to roommate with a 40-year-old that has a wife? How stupid does that sound? Me, a professional football player that has millions, is going to go to New York to be a roommate with somebody with a wife. When I had a girlfriend, that's why I moved to New York and lived in Long Island City, which is a little bit before Queens, Long Island City. That's why I moved there, is to be with her. I was in New York a lot. I was literally right next to the 59th Street Bridge. If anybody who knows New York, you know where that big, was it, Pepsi sign that was on the side? I used to live right next to that building. The construction and everything is built beautifully now, but I was there when it was nothing there. That's where I lived at for like what, two summers I was there before I moved to Vegas. How am I gonna live with Jay-Z? Try to insinuate that I'm gay. Well, there's never been a gay rumor about me. But this is what you deal with. And this is the reason why I don't do IG Live. This is the reason why I try not to do these interviews with people who aren't like-minded. And that was my fault for doing an interview with somebody who's not really like-minded, who just wanted to do it because he's trying to get rich. He's trying to make money. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I don't do this for money. I do it for the clear passivity of pissing people off. But if you see people, how they act now, you've seen videos on either Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. You see people fighting. And where are these people fighting at? Where are these people destroying themselves at? In fast food restaurants, in Walmarts, in Targets, in grocery stores. And I've always had this theory that what people eat affects their brain. So if people are fighting in these fast food restaurants, that means there's something toxic in these foods. You think they're ever going to tell you about what they really put in these foods? Like, have you heard the interview of A.B. Finkelstein? People just trying to say that man is not real. It was a made-up interview. And only people who are saying that are Jews are saying that. They're the only ones that never turn on their own. They'll never expose their own. There's not one truth teller I know or truth speaker I know is Jewish. But you should listen to that interview, A.B. Finkelstein. They tell you what they do to those fast food chains. They tell you what they do with the food. And I think that food is not healthy because it's rotting your brain. It's toxic to your brain. So people are acting out and fighting with one another because it's what they're eating. That is why it was so important the Most High came out with these dietary laws and told you don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat this. And the first thing people think, like when Most High said don't eat this, oh, I ain't gonna go to heaven because I can't eat pork. It's more than that. The more you eat something that is toxic and unclean, you start to be unclean and toxic. Point blank range. It's not that hard to see that. And no matter how smart these people think they are living out two scriptures or things that Paul has said thousands of years ago. And the reason why? Because Paul was around Greeks and Romans, just as we are around Greeks and Romans spiritually. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. You've heard this one, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure and lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Then he says it again in Romans 1:27. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burn with their lust for one another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. That's where all this monkeypox coming out from. All of a sudden, monkeypox, who was supposed to be exchanged through through contact, only gays are catching it. Why? Because gays don't know they have HIV. Why? Because they've been lowering their immune system with these vaccines. And I said this before this stuff started. I said the mark of the beast is going to be infested in the gay community because it's them who rely on the government to give them their rights. So they have to worship the government and everything they do, including their vaccines, in order to be legitimate. That is why the Most High knows exactly what he's doing. And that's why he told us in the last days that we have to be smart. We have to be wise as serpents and soft as doves. That is why their pride, they have to throw braids, they have to have months, they have to have a whole year of reveling in their sexuality. No one cares, fam. None of us care that they're gay. No one cares. It's almost acceptable now. They're trying to get into pedophilia and soon zoophilia. They already knocked down that wall with men marrying men and women marrying women. They're trying to knock down that door for grown men and grown women to marry little boys and marry little girls. They're trying to push that Talmudic law, that Sharia law. That's why Islam and Judaism is almost the same thing. I explained this on my show last week. It's almost the same thing. Their thing, just like the Prophet Muhammad, is to marry a 9-year-old or a 6-year-old girl. To Talmudic law, this is almost the same thing. To marry an infant, almost an infant, and don't have sex with her until, of course, she's of age. But that's they into being pedophiles. This is where it's all coming from. I'll continue. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Yah, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. He says it again. Because this is where we're living at. We basically living in Greek, Rome, Egypt at the same time. We mess around with nations or the spirituality of nations that were heathens. Whores, for lack of a better term. Whores. That's what they are. Dots, jump offs, side pieces. And some of us don't want to wake up with what these laws are. People keep saying, oh, God is love. God is this. No, fam. It comes with the fine print. And it really ain't even fine print. Y'all tell us what's going to happen to us. It ain't like Satan's contracts where you get all the blessings up front and then you don't read the fine print at the end and then you find out your soul is snatched. It ain't like that. The Most High puts everything right in front of your faces and said, if you do this, this is going to happen to you. If you do this, this is going to happen to you. Now, if you come over here, this is what's going to happen to you. And sure enough, they'll test him after a couple years. I'm going to get into Kings later. They'll test him after a couple years and then wonder why it was ripped apart from him. And they really couldn't say nothing about it. They really couldn't say, oh, man, I got bad luck. Oh, they hating on me. Oh, the white man doing this to me. Oh, black people pushing on me on this. Oh, Asians and Hispanics and da-da-da-da. All these are different nations that they're suppressing me and oppressing me. Oh, woe is me. It's you. Most I tell you what he said he doesn't want us to do and want us to finagle with. But I've heard so many people make excuses for their sins and they're going to find out the hard way. Just like Kings, and just like Jeroboam and Rehoboam, Solomon's son did. I'm going to get into that later. Now, this student debt nonsense. Well, I ain't going to say it's nonsense because I want y'all to be able to pay because they're not giving you money. They're not giving you opportunities. They're not putting you in a place for you could pay back these loans because hyperinflation is catching. How can you expect people to pay back loans if everything is on the rise? Resources are being chucked away. The government's spending money on all different types of aid packages for this Ukrainian war. How is somebody supposed to get even with this country? You don't. This whole place is a scam. And what they do is to get people on a liberal side. So now if you're Republican and somehow you got caught up in the financial aid fiasco and you can't pay your bills, you are going to mentally think, man, maybe I should go over to the liberal side. Like, I need help with these payments. And all they're getting is Republicans to come out, those who abused the PPP status and got reimbursed when they really didn't lose anything. I don't know how politicians file for PPP when their job is to be civil servants. I still don't get that. But they raped the system. So it's them coming out saying, of course, it's purposely played out for you, for them to come out saying, oh, people, if you got loans, you should pay them back. If you got loans, you should pay them back. And then they come out with all these politicians, these Republican politicians that have gotten the PPP loan. I'm not talking about it was $20,000, y'all. It was 100 and some thousand. One person got $3.1 million. But it's the ones they got the talking. It ain't nothing you could do about it. They're not getting their money taken back from them because they all splitting it up with each other. It's all in a big, it's a big pot. Everybody's getting a percentage. They're not keeping all that money. Don't think they just getting rich off and just individually getting rich off their scamming. No, they have to share that scam. It's a pyramid scheme. Everybody's sharing in the scam. Just like when they send money, $3 billion over there to Ukraine, everybody shares in the scam. That's why they keep sending money over there. They spreading it out. They dividing it up. It's a pyramid. The money flows up. So I get it. I want people to be able to get their student debts forgiven. I'm all for that. But don't think they're going to use their money. Don't think this coming out of their pocket. It comes out of yours. So that's what really people are upset about, is the fact that the taxes are going to rise to reimburse the government for letting you have this money. It's the same thing they did with the stimulus checks. You think they was going to give us money? No, they'll find a way to get that money back. Even though, fam, even when they can just print money and keep printing money because the money is backed up by nothing, it's a debt fiat currency. Even when they could do that and get print money to print away their debt, they still won't do it because they want you to be enslaved. They want you to have your resources and your whole life ripped apart so they can give you a life, so they can make you dependent on their resources, on their food, on their water, on their air to breathe. And then on my side, the NFL gave $1 billion, or I don't know where they're getting billions, where they put the $1 billion are, but they put in $1 billion into this race norming because guys who, like myself, who get messed up in the game and want to go to a doctor to get compensated, what they call it is a line of duty or total impairment, which means we can't work, which means we can't go out and get jobs because neurologically we just can't be in loud settings. We can't be in certain things annoy us. And of course, you know, CTE and all that, and you can't detect that until after you're dead. But most guys know that they have it, because if you play football for a long period of time, as I have, you know you have it. If receivers been catching it, like Aaron Hernandez and the Demaryius Thomas, if those guys have shown that they had it, me who've been banging all my life, I know I got it. So they've been trying to compensate guys. And there's no way in the world that you can bypass HIPAA laws to find out who has been getting these payments to even know that they're using a race card against you. There's no way to find this out. How? Race norming doesn't even make sense to me, because no one's ever heard of this until last year. It was mentioned maybe once or twice in the 70s and 80s and never heard it from again until now. And what they're doing is trying to print. I mean, like I said before, the NFL is just like the government. They are not going to use their money. It's coming from somewhere. And they're a private organization, so that money's coming from somewhere. These people are never going to take a loss. So if the league is 75 to 70% black, how do you know who got it? How do you know who's being turned away? How many white guys have gone to get their total impairment or line of duty? How many of them have succeeded more than black folk? Because those numbers aren't going to match. I'm sorry, but those numbers aren't going to match up. You're going to tell me out of the 70% that the 30% of white people who are filing for line of duty and total impairment are getting it more than the 70%? That makes no sense. And how would you know if it was race norming or not? You don't have the data. And they did this. This was like a two and a half year fight. And they just like, all right, we'll cut the billions. And this is when they cut the billion, they do the loan forgiveness, and they're giving Ukraine billions of dollars. This is all by the scheme. They're trying, like I said before, we are going away of Venezuela. They're trying to create more and more socialist programs to throw money at, and that money has to come from somewhere. This time they're just not printing it and saying here. They're putting a tax on it. They're putting a back tax on it. So really, everybody else's cost of living goes in. That's why hyperinflation comes from. It's to continue to print money and not get anything back and just keep writing off and taxing the people. So you have to raise goods and services. If you heard of this infamous newspaper, I think they're doing it. There was some quote-unquote anti-Semitism propaganda that's been dropped off at people's houses. I've seen it on Reddit, and people have been talking about that they got it in the mail or they got it in front of the door. It's them, fam. It's them. They're trying to get people caught by posting this stuff, but they're telling the truth about themselves. It's posting this stuff and saying everything is a Jewish agenda. So they're trying to force you to come out of the woodworks and say something anti-Semitic so they can rip apart your social media. So now, because if you listen to the aka prophet of the WEF, you can't get loans, you can't get your money based on an algorithm, and that algorithm is going to be based on a social credit score. You don't know what it is, but it is. It's going to be based on a social credit score. It's going to be based on your financial credit score, and you won't be able to get loans. You won't be able to get opportunities. You won't be able to go to the store, because when they pull it up, it will be you posting or saying something about their little agendas. And like I said before, you never, ever, will ever, 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 ever see anybody from the Jewish community from that particular cloth never come out and say, hey, this is what's really going on. This is what happened. They don't never do that. Never. I have never seen any of them stand up and say, I'm going to go for the truth, and this is what we see, and this is what our people be doing, and this is what I've heard. You'll never see them do that. So it was like four things. One was about Disney, gun control, COVID, and mass immigration. And what they did was show the companies and people who are in charge of these companies, and basically most of them are Jewish. Even the gun control lobbies, the senators, and people who are put in place are all Jewish. The CDC, deputy director, chief of staff, chief medical officer, director of the Washington office of CDC, COVID czar, COVID senior advisor, the HHS secretary, the HHS assistant health secretary, the head of Pfizer, Pfizer chief scientist, Moderna CEO, Moderna chief scientist, BlackRock CEO, BlackRock president, Vanguard CEO, Premlin School of Medicine, chief scientist, Gamaleya Institute, all of them Jewish. And they go into gun control, grooming, Disney's grooming, the CEO, the senior executive VP. You get the picture, man. They slipped in there. I mean, it's only about 1.7 million of them in this country, I think. It's like a really small population, but all of them control all the biggest positions of head of state, all the biggest positions when they decide what you need to eat, you know, what you need to see, read, learn, all of that. They control it. They control it all. They own the school systems. That's why their children never go to our schools. Do you notice that? None of their children go to our schools. They go into a private school. They go to Hebrew school. And it's gated up. There's never been not one mass shooting in any Hebrew school in America. None. They use us to be that guinea pig for that gun control. That's why it never happens to them. Never. They pick and choose when they want to sacrifice their own. But even then, it's a lie behind it. And it's used to demonize another race or another nation or another ideology, really. But let's get into Solomon, Kings. And this goes down to being disobedient. really being disobedient to the Most High. When the Most High says don't do something and you turn around and do it, then you really want to test the Most High strength, test his judgment, test his righteousness. First Kings, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which Yahuwah said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after the Elohim. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 women, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his women turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his women turned away his heart after other Elohim, and his heart was not perfect with Yahuwah, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after the Asherah, the Elohai of the Sidonim, and after Moloch, the abomination of the Ammonites. And most people still worship Moloch. Moloch is the child sacrifice god. That's what Hillary Clinton was talking about in her email. Sacrificing the chicken, which meant a little boy in the backyard to Moloch. And what Solomon did was evil in the sight of Yahuwah and went not fully after Yahuwah as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Chemosh, Moab, is what Ruth was worshiping. That's where Ruth came from. Ruth, before she married Boaz, came from worshiping Chemosh, and they did the same thing with child sacrifices. And likewise did he for all his strange women, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their Elohim. And Yahuwah was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from Yahuwah Elohai of Yashareel, which had appeared unto him twice and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other Elohim. But he did not guard that which Yahuwah commanded. Now, how is the wisest king, one of the richest, wisest kings at this time, can't keep his penis in line, can't keep his mind off lust, can't keep his mind off his emotions, can't keep his spirit intact? And some of you are in these situations right now. And no matter how many times somebody tells you the truth about what you're doing, you keep making excuses for it. It says, and this is not about being racist. It's not about being a segregationist. It's not about that. It's a reason why the Most High does not want us mingling with other nations. First, it loses its identity. First of all, it loses identity. And I'm guilty of it too. And this is before I had my child, before I woke up. Because I had a child by a strange woman, a Gentile. But some of you, you have a choice to make, a decision to make. Are you going to follow the Most High or are you going to follow after your dick? Period. And some of you don't want to make that choice, which is, how can you say you're walking in truth, walking in light, and walking this path if you don't know how to keep your penis in control, your lust intact? Tobit says, 4:13, now therefore, my son, love your brethren and despise not in your heart your brethren, the sons and daughters of your people, in not taking a woman of them, for in pride is destruction and much trouble, and in lewdness is decay and great want, for lewdness is the mother of famine. Then an angel, because Tobit was so scared of marrying this woman who keeps getting her husbands killed in the wedding chamber, in the bed chamber, on wedding night, honeymoon night, keeps getting them killed because this demon, Asmodeus, was a powerful demon, kept strangling them. So he was like, now I am not going into this woman. This woman got a demon in love with her. I'm chill. I got to move on. And this angel had to come and tell him, no, fam. Then the angel said unto him, do you not remember the precepts which your father gave you, that you should marry a woman of your own kindred? Wherefore hear me, O my brother, for she shall be given to you to be your woman, and make not reckoning of the evil Ruach, for this same night shall she be given you in marriage. This goes back to Deuteronomy 2. And what Solomon was doing, it wasn't like it was just white women, fam. It wasn't what it was Asian women. It was Hamites from the Hamitic tribes. And even some from the Ammonites come from Lot. Lot's descendants. So they're really Shemites. When the Most High said, I don't want you to spread your seed out this way, because it loses identity. And not only that, because you are carrying the spirituality, the spirits, the emotions of another nation into your room, into your house. So eventually, you either get ripped apart by it, you either get oppressed by it, or you end up breaking yourself down and falling after their beliefs. It ain't just their gods, it's their beliefs. Like my brother's married to a white woman. He not in this truth, but he's changed. I haven't spoken to him in 3 years, but he's changed. We used to be close. We're not close anymore because she has controlled him. She can only let him go see her brothers and kick it with her brothers. She doesn't want him around. She doesn't want him around me. But this is what this is the example. And my brother's darker than I am. But his children are like really light. But if you look at Patrick Mahomes, his dad was with a white woman, and then he being light had a baby with a white woman, and that melanin is completely gone. I don't want to hear this crap about God is love and love is equal, none of that crap, because God don't believe in all that. He believed everybody's sticking with their own. The same thing that is said in Tobit and the same thing is said in the scriptures and Kings could be used with every nation to stay with yourselves. Because when we are going to be awakened, we are not supposed to be like everybody else. We are set apart for this particular reason. Now, if we lose our melanin through watering down our seed, then the Israelites will be every other nation. This is why he says this. He likes things to be intact. This doesn't change. This is not Old Testament or New Testament. The Most High is every testament. There is no old new to him. Scripture says, I am Yahuwah. I do not change. What part of that do not, some of you don't understand. I really don't care how in love you are. I really don't care what your situation is. Eventually, just like as it happened with Solomon, eventually, when the Most High said, if you walk before me, if you do my commandments, if you guard my statutes, if you walk as your father walked, I will bless you. If you do not do this, he told him this all up front. If you do not do this, I'm going to rip the kingdom from you. I'm going to give it to other your children. I'm going to give it to do. I'm going to do this with your servants. And then you're going to fall. Fam, 10, 20 years went by probably. And it's funny, when you read Kings, you don't get a grasp of how long it took for the Israelites to sin. You just hear like, all right, we left Egypt, then we go sin. Then it's captivity. And you forget it was 70 years, 60 years, 20 years that these things would happen. It'd be a repetitive thing though. But the Most High told them all up front. He told the Israelites underneath Mount Sinai, do this, so this won't happen to you. All right, time goes by. They do it. This would happen to them. And then they have a whole book, a whole chapter full of lamentations of them getting their tails beat off. Some of you don't think this will happen today. Some of you assume this judgment's not going to catch you. That you're not going to get a little bit of heartache from your decisions. And that's the problem with this generation. You guys go through it. You guys have a memory lapse time of TikTok. If it's not 3 minutes of blessings or curses, you think you're good or you think you're cursed forever. If it doesn't happen to you when you pray for it, then and there, you guys get upset, get frustrated, and ready to walk away. But if you sinning and you get sinning for a while, for 2 to 3 weeks you sin, and you be like, man, ain't nothing happened to me. You either keep doing it or you chill out and just wait. And then you do it again. And be like, I still ain't getting cursed. I ain't get judgment. And then soon as desolation happens at the perfect time, because the Most High's judgment is never late. It is always on time. And as soon as that day comes, you're going to be looking dumbfounded. You're going to be staring in the mirror, wondering, I'm so cursed. They're after me. These demons, it ain't the demons. You already doing what the demons want you to do. So it ain't them. The demons aren't oppressing you because you're sinning. They like you to sin. They like you to be disobedient. They're going to make it they're going to try to, as much as they can on their lower level of frequency, they're going to make sure your lust is taken care of. They're going to make sure that flesh is always fleshy. Let me get into it again. Wherefore Yahuwah said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of you, and you have not guarded my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding in your days, I will not do it for David your father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of your son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So Judah, we went with Solomon because of David. And this is the beauty of the Most High's loyalty. He could have easily said, you know what? I'm going to give all of the kingdom over to Jeroboam. I'm going to give the kingdom over to whoever I wanted to give it, and you is going to be asked out. He could have done this. But the Most High's word goes all the way back to Abraham. We will never have the Most High's loyalty. A lot of us think that we're loyal, but we will never have the loyalty of the Most High. When he said he's going to do something, regardless of what we have done after he made that promise, he still was loyal. A lot of you are going through troubles in your life and your times. Understand what type of God you serve. Think of your Elohim. Think of your Adonai. El Gabor, the mighty El. Think of that. Oh, I'm struggling. Think of how loyal he is. If he woken you up in the beginning, know that he will be with you when you don't think you're being obedient, or even when you're being disobedient. Remember how loyal he is. Remember, he loves for you to come back. Loves for you to see the error in your ways. Loves when you catch yourself stumbling. Loves when you know you're backsliding. That is how he remains loyal. He has never turned away anybody. He says it in scripture. He has never turned anybody away who was trying to actively search him. Never. But he also is not going to let you get away with your sins. You're going to reap what you sow. Eventually, you're going to reap what you sow. Once your heart starts fluttering, once you start having Google eyes, once you start lusting after certain things, eventually it'll die off. Eventually it'll die off. And this is what the Most High knows. This is how he created this. He knew that eventually, after a period of time, our flesh would be stronger than our spirit. Eventually, he knew this. It happened to the best of us. It happened to Abraham when he had, instead of being patient and going to Yahuwah for a child, he listened to Sarah and said, here, Sarah said, here, have my cleaning lady, my maid. Here, have her, my maid serving. Here, have a baby with her because you need a son. And then didn't that come back and bite him in the ass? If you read the book of Jasher, Ishmael tried to kill Isaac with a bow and arrow. And you know where that sacrificing on Mount Moriah, where that came from? It says in Jasher, the Most High heard Isaac and Ishmael arguing with each other. Ishmael said, well, if Abraham tell me to do something, I'll do it. And Isaac came back and said, well, if my father want to sacrifice me to the Most High, I'd be with it. Because I'm that obedient to my father. And in scripture, it says the Most High had heard this thing and decided to test Abraham on this issue. and Abraham succeeded. Abraham put the Most High in front of his own child. That is what being loyal is. Abraham had to get his life straight. And that's when he's like, when Sarah caught Ishmael loading up that arrow to strike Isaac and kill him, she went to Abraham and was like, no, you got to get this woman out of here. Get her out of here. And in the scripture, it says Ishmael will be a thorn in the side of nations. Some of y'all think y'all separated from your bloodline. You think you separated from certain demons or certain principalities that run or authorities that run through your bloodline. You think you separate from it. None of us are special, this special. None of us are the main characters. Get that out of your brain. Get this main character syndrome out of your brain. Get it out of your spirit. You are not the main characters. We are servants. We are followers of the way. Children of the light. Lambs. We are his. For him to do as he wants us to do. And it's all about loyalty. It's all about serving him. Now, if Abraham can do it, Isaac can do it, Jacob can do it, the 12 tribes can do it sometimes, but he still stayed loyal. They corrected themselves. After years, they corrected themselves and came back. But eventually, the sins catch up. And when the Most High prophesies judgments on nations, especially us, you know what's coming. And verse 14, and Yahuwah stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, who was the king's seed in Edom. Now, I don't know if this white Edom or is it black Edom, because Edom had multiple wives. He had wives from women his mother told him not to have children with. Canaanites. He had, he mixed in every other nation. Even today, he mixes in every other nation. That's why Hebrews is no one more profane fornicator as Esau. That means he screwed everybody. He passed the seed everywhere. That is why so many these pedophile white men go down to South Brazil and go down to these Asian countries to have sex with young 13, 12-year-old girls, and these girls get pregnant, and they just leave them there. And they create different nations out of these children. These children are literally dissociated from their own heritage. I seen a documentary on PBS. I don't know where I saw it, on YouTube or something. And it talked about how these foreigners, these white foreigners would fly into, of course, poverty-stricken countries and pay for young girls to have sex with them. And then these girls, being either 12, 13, 14, or what have you, would get pregnant. And they would never hear from this man again. So if these nations is brown skin, eventually they become white. Look what happened to Egypt. Eventually it became white, didn't it? Eventually it did. It went from the dark races of Ham into the Patrick Mahomes of Egypt. Every other nation went through that. Even us. When I did my Ancestry DNA, that app, all you do is spit in the tube. I don't know why some of y'all are so afraid to find out who you are. And they don't do nothing with your blood, fam. I don't put that much. People really have a problem with that. Oh, what do you do with your blood? Fam, they have enough blood out of enough people. Your blood is not special. Stop being main, having that main character syndrome. Your blood is not that special. Everybody got the same either AB, positive O, or whatever. The only people who are abominations are people who got that real tainted blood. But your blood is not that more special that they can create a bioweapon just to get you. You already, either you're in this world, you're already destroying yourself by doing what they tell you to do. So calm down and sit down. So basically all you do in Ancestry DNA is you spit in the tube and you send it off and they tell you your percentages. So when I did mine, I found out I got a little bit of Irish, a little bit of European, a little bit of Norway or what have you. And I got that through them raping my ancestors. I'm only related to some white folk in this country because the rape of my people. If I let my beard grow, it's a little red hair. I don't know where that comes from. I don't have no redheaded people in my family. But it's what happens when you get a percentage of taintedness in your bloodline. That's why the Most High has said in Baruch that I have tried to clean the blood from these people. With much work have I made this grape that he calls us, the cluster of grape that he keeps to himself. He has done enough work to make sure we weren't completely destroyed, because they were going to completely destroy us. And they couldn't. So Esau, what he did was spread his seed, just like Tarshish, who are the Italy or France, Chittim, which is Greece. That's what these people did, was spread out and mingle the nations. And that's what Esau did, being very red and hairy or whatever. He spread that gene everywhere. Where do you think, and then he went into the Horite. So where do you think the movie Croods come from? Where do you think they get the Flintstones from, fam? You ain't never seen a black Flintstone. You ain't never seen a black Croods movie. You ain't even seen a black caveman movie. You ever seen that Geico commercial, "Even a caveman can do it"? All of them are white. They come from the Neanderthal, the Horite. And it is in the line of Japheth. That's why the Most High hated Esau, because he spread that seed into a nation that was forbidden. And y'all don't catch that yet. The whole book of Obadiah is based off Edom, because he spread his seed, his righteous seed, in other nations. And the same day it had to Solomon. Solomon had to have more children. You don't even hear about him. But you only hear about one of his children, which is Rehoboam. And he was wicked, because his mother, I think, was an Ammonite. His mother wasn't an Israelite. That was the problem. So the Most High told him, because if you have done this, because you have had children, you had seeds from other nations, I'm going to get your son to give that particular kingdom of Judah to your son, and then I'm going to rip it away from him. But I'm going to go back to the part where Yahuwah said he stirred up an adversary. So when you trespass, when you transgress, how do you not know in your life that the Most High is not raising up or stirring up an adversary to get you back on track? You can complain about the people in your workplace. You can complain about your partner. You can complain about your opportunities that you're not getting. You can complain about your check, your money. You can complain about it all. But if you are not wholeheartedly searching after the Most High, you are getting an adversary stirred up, because you have now seen the truth. You have now seen the light. You are getting an adversary stirred up in your life to get your ass back on track. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom. For 6 months did Joab remain there with Yasharel until he had cut off every male in Edom that had died, fled. And he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him went to Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. Went into Egypt. And what happened was the king of Egypt found favor with Hadad, and gave him, I think, his wife's sister in marriage. And of course, anytime the Israelites went after somebody, you knew, just like Amalek and Agag, the descendants of that, as soon as the Most High told Samuel to get rid of these people because they're disgusted and sick, he let one go and he grew up, and that's how the book of Esther happened. Because then he wanted all of the Israelites killed. So Hadad got a little something in his craw, wants to go and destroy. So that's how the Most High raised him up and to get to infest the kingdom of Israel. And then Solomon died, gave the kingdom of Rehoboam. And Yah says, "Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus says Yahuwah, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me.
They hearkened therefore to the word of Yahuwah and returned to depart according to the word of Yah. So Rehoboam got pissed because the kingdom, the other tribes were ripped from him, like the Most High told Solomon it would happen. And what Rehoboam was so pissy, he wanted to go out and fight everybody because Jeroboam was king of the other nations. So the Most High said, no, you're not going to do nothing. I told him to do this. You're doing what I told him to do. You sit there and then just sit there and be quiet. And then Jeroboam, as first started off righteous, then he became wicked. So he's scared of losing his power. And what does he do? This man goes up and sets up idols. Golden calves again. He sets up idols for the tribes to worship. So they go back into idolatry. It wasn't even to the fact, fam, that it was falsely testifying against your neighbor. It wasn't taking his wife. It wasn't doing none of the other commandments. But the first commandment that he continually to keep breaking was the first commandment. And that was, do not serve any other God but the Most High. So they set up Asherah poles again. They set up all these idols again. And the Most High got mad at them again. So Jeroboam goes up to the altar, and then a man of Elohim, I love this story, a man of Elohim came up to prophesy against him and said, hey, because you have turned your heart away from me, I'm going to destroy every single male, I love when you use this term, pisseth against the wall. If you look up that, look in the Sefer, look up pisseth against the wall. That means a male. I'm going to kill every male in your household. I'm going to destroy your whole bloodline. Fam, if that ain't to get y'all to act right, I don't know what does. Because not only did Jeroboam suffer, that means everybody in his bloodline suffered. And the Most High prophesied against him, saying, I'm going to destroy your household. And I go back to when 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather was in that beef, and then Game and Eminem was in that little weird beef, and then the daughter of Eminem used the same video that 50 Cent used against Floyd when he said, when I woke up, he said, F50, and he's like, what did he say F me for? So that's why I was laughing when I was reading about Jeroboam, because I know his lineage was like, why y'all say F me for? Because he destroyed his whole household. So the man that was a man of Elohim was said, and Jeroboam said, all right, cool. All right, I'll go my way. I'll go back to my house. Come with me. I'll feed you. I'll give you reward for prophesying against me and letting me know what's going to happen to me. And the man of Elohim said, look, I can't go with you. Even if you give me half your house, I can't go with you. I can't eat nor drink, and I can't go back that way. He's like, all right, cool. So he goes. So then some children found out that this man of Elohim prophesied against Jeroboam. They ran into a town nearby and stirred up a prophet. And the prophet came to meet him and said, hey, why don't you come with me? I'm a prophet too. An angel told me, which he lied, an angel told me, hey, come with me and come eat and drink and come hang out with us. So people at that time always wanted to be around men of righteousness. They wanted to learn. They wanted to understand the ways of the Most High. So people get really excited when they find out that Yah has used a man of his to prophesy against the king. So, of course, they want to be in his company. So this prophet lied about what this angel told him. And this man of Elohim said, all right, cool, I'll go back. And as soon as this man sat down and finished eating and finished drinking, the prophet, a word of Yah, came into this prophet's mouth, the one that lied, and said, because you have disobeyed me, because I told you, do not come back this way, do not eat, do not drink, and to continue on your way, because you have done this and disobeyed me, you're going to be slain, and your bones will not be suited to be buried with your fathers. That man left that table, he went on his way. A lion slain him off that donkey he was riding on, and his bones was in the middle of the road, and that somebody found his bones, went back and said, "Hey, the man that you had came over that you prophesied against. Well, his bones is in the middle of the street, and a lion and a donkey just standing there." And the prophet went out to find it, to find his bones. Sure enough, the lion was standing there, and the donkey was standing right next to him. The lion had not eaten the body. He just slain them. The lion did not eat the body, and the donkey wasn't even eaten either. Y'all don't understand how the Most High worked? You should read Kings. Read chapters 1 through 16, because this is where it all went down. There's parables in these stories. Some of you don't even know there's a lion on its way. Some of you don't even know. And today, we don't have the prophets. So we have little messages that either people who are in this truth are telling you, or people around you that may prophesy with you or against you are telling you, you better get your act in order. A lion is on its way. So the prophet found the bones, picked up the bones, and realized, man, y'all was not playing. This lion just sitting here standing there, and a donkey standing right next to him. And I look at this as the Most High letting that donkey sit there and not run off by saying, hey, look, the lion is judgment, and the donkey is this dumbass that decided to go back, after I told him not to, to go back, to not to eat, not to drink, not to go this way. Now he's sitting out here, bones dead and all, next to his ass. That's how you should be thinking. Before we think about sinning, before we think about transgressing, before we think about being disobedient and thinking we the main character in this world, before we do all that, we better be thinking, is there a lion on its way? And will I be embarrassed? And that's what that is. It's an embarrassment to find another man, find your bones next to a lion, next to a donkey, next to an ass, basically. Now you look like a dumbass. A dumbass for lying. That's what that is. He said, all right, I'm going to obey the Most High to drop off this message. I'm going to keep him away. Then turn around and lie and didn't do that. So what did he look like? A dumbass lion. So the man felt bad for this man of Elohim and took the bones, buried them, and said, when I die, put these bones on top of me, because he felt bad for lying and getting them killed. And that, sure enough, that man died, that prophet died, and they buried that man right on top in the same grave or next to that man of Elohim, right in the grave, and not even in the grave of his fathers. Because it was prophesied not to. And then when you read through Kings, you read about all the other kings that came out of the bloodline of David, and some of them were righteous, most of them were bad, most of them were wicked, and they kept doing the same thing. Raising up astral poles, letting other gods into Yasharel, and then what brought other god? What brought other behaviors? Sodomites. Sodomites were in the land. Remember, y'all, we in Africa. It's black. So yeah, we were the first pedophiles. We were the first homosexuals. We were the first sodomites. We the first ones that got into bestiality. We were the first. What these other nations are doing, what we've been doing and getting judged for it. They're going to get judged for it later, but we were the ones to be the witness. We were the ones to show you that this book that we follow is a big, I told you so. The Most High right now is giving everybody enough rope to hang themselves. I don't want you to be the victim of this plan. That's all it is. People are like, oh, there ain't no God. God don't exist. Everybody wants to be atheist. Everybody's almost a nihilist. The Most High is giving rope. That's all he's doing. Giving rope. He's not sending prophets to prophesy against people. He's not telling these the senators, these politicians, hey, you're going to do this and a lion's going to slay. He's not doing none of that. He ain't doing none of that. All he's doing is giving out rope. Giving out rope for everybody to hang themselves. Giving out rope. So when it comes to a point in time when that judgment happens, nobody can say, nobody told me so. Because you had ample enough time, just as in the days of Noah, where he gave everybody 125 years, and Enoch told him, you got 125 years to get your act in order, or this flood is going to come. And they waited till the day it started raining to tap on that ark to say, please let us in. And they did not get it, just as most of you will not get it until the rain start coming, and then you got to tap on that door and get, guess who going to tell you? It ain't going to be Noah telling you can't come in. It's going to be Yahusha. Get away from me. I have not known you. I remember one king in Kings, where his name is Zimri. This fool did it. He killed a king when the king was drunk. So he took the crown or whatever, and they went to go war with the Philistines. So again, the Most High raised up adversaries around Yisrael to trouble them because they were sinning. So judgment is going to come from people, come from NPCs. This is how it works. So Zimri find that the city that they were after, the Philistine city they were after, was destroyed. So he go in there to celebrate. This fool tried to burn down the Philistine king's house. This fool burns the house on top of himself, and he dies. Man, just read. Y'all need to read it, man. Read Kings and read how silly all of these kings were when the kingdoms were split up. And then after that, you know, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, then, you know, Yahusha comes into the picture because we don't really have no kingdom after that. And then that's when everything gets destroyed and we're dispersed in all corners of the world. This is why we are where we are right now, because our fathers do not know how to act right. This is our last captivity because now we understanding, with a lot of understanding, what our forefathers did. And that is why it's crucial, just not for the children of Israel, for all these nations. It's imperative for you to learn where you need to be at in this walk. It's imperative. Know who your, I'm not going to say know who your bloodline is, but know who you are. Stick to what you know. Don't worry about all these other doctrines. Stick to the stories. Stick to the parables. Stick to the examples, because they can be used in your life. The one thing I do not want to see is y'all getting strung up because you keep thinking you the main character, that only your decisions, your flesh, your emotions count, that you matter more than the Most High. I keep telling you, it's stories on top of stories in this book that show you that every time we kept thinking that we are the main characters, the Most High had to tell us, you ain't doing it right. I'm going to do this to you and do that to you. And you had to sit there for the rest of your days waiting for judgment. I couldn't imagine how that would feel. Every day you hiding in the house. Every day you're not going outside. You don't know when this judgment going to come. You don't know when it's going to happen. And you won't even have time to repent. That's the sad part about this. Zimri, that king who got killed in the house, the man of Elohim, it doesn't even say they had time to repent. Fam, they just gone. Do you really want to die being the last thing you do is sinning and transgressing against his laws? Is that the last thing that's going to be on your mind? That you didn't have a chance to make it right with him? You should really think about this. Think about your behavior. If you had to go today, if today you didn't even to say today was the day a lion was going to walk across, and I don't care what that lion would look like. The lion could look like a straight bullet. That lion could look like a car accident. That lion could look like a plane crash. That lion could look like an overdose. That lion could look like alcohol poisoning. A lion could look like your friend killing you. It don't matter what that lion would look like. Imagine that day. Could you really say that you lived and walked this walk truthfully? Because at this point in time, this has been, I don't know what episode is this. At this point in time, we should already be done with sinning. We should know what the laws are. We should know what the statutes are. We should be done sinning. We should be really getting ready to really live and bask in the ambiance of righteousness. We should be already doing that right now, ladies and gentlemen. We should already be worrying about that. Stop worrying about the vaccine shot and all that. It's not going to happen. Fam, the vaccine is not the mark. It is a prelude to the mark. It's to keep getting you re-vaccine, re-jab, 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 to the point you get so tired of getting it in your system. You like, you know what? what the hell? Just put this mark in my hand so I don't have to get anything else, and I can be in good with the government. I can be in good with my loans. I can be in good with my payments and my money, and I can be left alone. And then sure enough, it's said in Revelations, do not get this mark, and because once you get it, you are tampered. There's no coming back. You are a genetic modified material. You belong to the government, and that really belongs to Satan. And that's all he wants. Satan got that mark from the Most High, saying that he was going to mark us with his name and mark us on the forehead and on the hand. The Most High said he's going to mark us spiritually. So what Satan wants to do is mark us physically. That's why you get celebrities marking up their face, tearing their face up. So if you doing BBLs and if you doing all these injections in your face, and you like, you seen Drake, his gay ass, he got that that red tattoo on his face. As when you start tattooing your face, you already marked. So basically the next step is, what's this little tattoo mark on my hand gonna do but put all my banking information in, put my vaccine records in, my travel records, everything's in here. So really, I don't need no wallet. I don't need nothing else. I'm good. And it's cool because everybody's gonna make it cool. The celebrity's gonna make it cool. And as soon as that happens, that is when the rope is gonna go around your neck and it's gonna string your ass up, and you're not gonna be able to get out of it. It ain't gonna be no more repentance. It's not gonna be any more of the righteous praying for you. It's not gonna be nobody praying for you or interceding in your sins or your life. You're gonna catch judgment. And fam, I read those curses in Revelation. Don't nobody, I hate mosquitoes. Imagine this description of whatever bee or insect that is that's flying, that's gonna be stinging people, not for a couple of days, not for a couple of hours, for months. It says months. Could you imagine getting stung? Some of you don't like mosquitoes either. Imagine a bee stinging you upside your head for 5 months. And then you be ready to die, but can't die. Now, we talking about this transhumanism and all that. I think that kind of plays into it. If people are not able to die, which means their brain, because they trying to get to this neural link and all this transhumanism and trying to link your brain up with something digital, you are not going to be able to do nothing. You're a zombie. Basically, that's what you are. You're a zombie. They have control. So if you were like, man, I want to kill myself, you ain't going to be able to do it. And like I said before, the Most High is allowing this system to be so wicked because he knows it's luring in people that are not of him. He don't care about everybody else. He's not coming out of them clouds and to stop none of this madness because he wants y'all to hang yourself with your own rope. That's why he giving slack. Keep giving slack. And until people wake up for being dumb, broke, stupid, and horny all the time, it's going to happen. Reprobates. It's going to happen. If the vaccine don't get you, if the mark don't get you, the other 10 curses that's coming like as if as in Egypt, those other 10 curses are going to get you. So if you think, oh, I'm just good, I don't need to really worship the Most High. I just need to know to stay away from the mark. Because that's what people's whole thing is thinking they're good if they can just stay away from the mark. Oh, I just won't take the vaccine. I'm good. I should be saved. No, if you read Ezra, if you read Baruch, it says if those who escape judgment, who have escaped the fire, will get drowned in the water. Those who escape the water will be hit in the fire. Those who escape both of those will be trotted down in violence. And those who escape, like, it ain't gonna stop. It ain't gonna stop till he clean out everybody, just as the waters did in the days of Noah. Except this time he's sending fire. I don't know which worse. Water or fire? I really don't know what's worse. I never want to think about drowning, but I also don't want to think about being burnt neither. It would suck for you to be burnt in this lifetime in judgment and then burnt again after judgment. You must be completely stupid to be burnt twice, fam. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to be really stupid to be burnt twice or want to be burnt twice or your ignorance leads you to be burnt twice. These days are getting shortened. And I forgot to cover this in my last episode, how I started at Baruch and then I forgot to finish it. But in Baruch, it said the time would be shortened. The days would pass on. The fruits wouldn't produce their fruit in the season. The moon would change its times. Then if you go to If you even go back to that, you go to Enoch. Enoch said, the days of sinners shall be shortened. If you go to what Yahushua said in Matthew, he said, the days will be shortened. If the days weren't shortened for the elect's sake, for the righteousness' sake, for the great, the cluster that he's saving to himself, if it wasn't shortened, no flesh would be saved. Well, that means they will continue this clamp they have on us financially will continue to be tightened until they get everybody into this matrix, everybody into that mark. That's why it's shortened. That's why things happen in such a fast scale. Everybody's flying. But it also says it's going to become a time the grace period is going to be shut off. It won't be nobody being able to pray for anybody. So when everybody's going through their judgments, it's too late. Even if he give you a leeway, give you a little window to repent, that's not going to stop what's coming. You won't even have a chance to offer up. You won't even have a chance to participate in the feast and holy days. That's why I push the calendar on you. That's why I push these feast days, the Day of Atonement, the proper days. That's why I push them on you. So get ready to do them now. So when you are hopefully saved, you are saved by your works. The works are doing these feast days, these holy days, these Shabbats. As long as you actively are trying to do this, you have a great chance of being saved. We are not doing the ways of the Christians. We are not doing the ways of Islam. We're not doing the ways of Judaism to be saved. We are set apart to doing it his way. We are not the main characters. If we do it his way, we are looked favorably upon. We could be blessed. We could be spared. That's what I'm saying. Next month is a big month. It's the Day of Atonement. I'm a remind you. Those who are not really following in our calendar, I'm going to remind you, we have a Day of Atonement coming up for you to humble yourself. And that's the whole part of why religion doesn't hark upon these rules, these laws, and these statutes. Because it's vanity that's leading a lot of you Christians or would-be Christians away from the word. Because it's based upon what you feel is better for you in a position to serve the Most High. And I just told you, by Solomon's mistake of putting all these idols up, and these kings putting these idols up and being destroyed because they wanted to serve their gods their way. And what happened to them? They all were gone. They all have gone into destruction. And it won't take 10, 20 years like it did in Scripture. I'm pretty sure time was moving slow then. It's going to be fast. As soon as you put your hand on that hot pot, it's going to burn. I'll see y'all next week. Stay up.